birds play an under-recognized role in spreading tick-borne diseases. They can travel long distances and tend to split their time in different parts of the world, patterns that are shifting due to climate change. Now, a new study identifies which bird species could spread ticks and Lyme disease. I spoke with the lead author of the study. Daniel Becker is a postdoctoral fellow at Indiana University. He and senior author Barbara Hahn, a disease ecologist at the Carey Institute of Ecosystem Studies in Dutchess County, used machine learning to identify bird species with the potential to transmit the Lyme disease bacterium to feeding ticks. Becker says they turned to machine learning because there was a piece missing in the Lyme disease literature about the role birds and migratory birds could play.
The system also lets you ask just some really interesting biological questions. So because the birds carry the infection and then they transmit it to the ticks, essentially what's happening is when the bird gets bitten by these larval ticks and the larval ticks are uninfected, you're essentially having the bird transmit the pathogen to that tick itself, and then those ticks overwinter, molt, and then they emerge as this nymphal stage that, actually bites people and spreads Lyme. But because of this, the larvae are uninfected, and then the birds or the rodents or whatever infect them, it kind of lets you actually ask some questions about, can this bird species actually infect ticks with the pathogen, which is something that's really hard to measure out in sort of wild systems.
Where is the degree of accuracy then when you're doing this kind of research?
Yeah. So the algorithms that we use to sort of, analyze these data and kind of what they're doing, it's sort of, what you do when you go on Amazon or something, right? And you look at a bunch of products and the algorithm under the hood is saying, okay, you looked at product ABC, based on the characteristics of those products, we suggest you also look at product D and E. What we're doing with the machine learning methods here is, we know species A, B, and C can all infect these ticks. Based on the characteristics of those different bird species, we predict species D, E, F, and we predicted about at a minimum, around 20 different species that, based on the characteristics of birds that can transmit the Lyme bacteria to ticks, are really likely to be sort of competent is the word we're using, but they just haven't been studied or tested yet. And so the accuracy you kind of measure in some ways relative to like a coin toss. So a measurement of 50% accuracy, is kind of flip a coin and you either get it right or get it wrong. So we had about 80% accuracy. So, you're expecting 20% of the time you might not be getting it right. But that level of accuracy is pretty good, especially for, again, kind of working with wildlife and kind of messy wildlife data.
So what species should we be worried about or look to? I don't want to dramatize the situation, but it is of concern. We're all used to the deer around here carrying them, but they're living a pretty finite life in terms of where they're traveling, as opposed to migrating birds, for example. So,
right. So
where's the danger here? And I mean, obviously, climate change comes into play here. And what should we be looking for here in New York? In the Hudson Valley and a bit beyond.
Yeah, that's another really good question. And the way you put it, I think, is really the good way to put it, like not so much what should we be worried about, but what should we be thinking about, studying more or looking out for. And so, one thing that we found was if you look across all the birds that have been studied for the Lyme bacteria to date, the thrushes in general just seem to have this really strong pattern of they are good at infecting ticks. And so a lot of the thrush species, so like the American robin is, the classic one we think of here, a lot of those have already been shown to infect ticks, but there's also a lot of thrush species that, haven't been sampled yet. And so looking out for those and sort of calling for more research on, unsampled species or, species where we might think their movements are being changed by climate and so forth. We also found kind of a select sort of different sections of some different passerines. So the American goldfinch was kind of at the top of our list of something that, you know, based on every sort of characteristic of the Lyme-positive bird species, we really expect it to be, you know, a good host for the bacterium. So definitely something, you know, in terms of future work, something to sort of think about studying, and we know that some of their movement patterns are also maybe shifting with climate or human activity.
Was there another one?
That was one of the main ones. You know, we found a couple different sparrow species, so like Harris's sparrow, Vesper sparrow. Those are a couple kind of North American sparrows that, you know, haven't been studied yet, but we predict that they, you know, could be good hosts for the pathogen.
The model revealed 21 new species that should be prioritized for surveillance based on sharing traits with what he calls known competent species. High-risk species tend to have a low baseline stress hormone, breed in winter at high latitudes and low elevations, are broadly distributed, and are species that breed early and die young, or breed late and live longer. Becker talks about next steps.
Yeah, so that kind of question about how is environmental change, climate or otherwise, going to change the distribution of bird species and the ticks that they have, and what does that mean for potential new areas of Lyme disease risk, is something that kind of actively working on. And what we're hoping to do is sort of focus that in on, you know, the bird species that we already know have tested positive, but then also the bird species that we're predicting should be positive. So how are those, you know, geographic ranges going to change? And then another area that's really kind of people just starting to talk about a bit more is when we do these big predictive modeling studies, you know, we're basically putting out into the world, here's a candidate list of things to sample. And so what we're hoping to do is try to actually follow that up by, you know, going out into the field and, you know, misnetting and banding and taking small blood samples from some of these targeted predicted species and see if we can sort of fact check ourselves, right? Are the species that we predict to be positive, are they actually positive? And then with that new information, can we try and keep developing better predictive models for tick-borne disease? So kind of iterate the models with the new data as they come in.
The study is published in the journal Global Ecology and Biogeography. Reporting from WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau on the campus of Vassar College, I'm Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn.